Hello, my friends. I'm Bill McLaughlin. Welcome to St. Paul Sunday.
St. Paul Sunday is produced by Minnesota Public Radio and made possible by a major grant from the Minnesota-based General Mills Foundation, supporting excellence in education, human services, and the arts. Additional funding has been provided by the National Endowment for the Arts and by this Public Radio International station. Join us today with our guest, the Jacques Thibault Trio.
Today we have a very unusual program. To begin with, we have a string trio, and that's already an unusual creature. Lots of string quartets, a lot of piano trios, but the ensemble of violin, viola, and cello is rather rare. And while there are some masterpieces written for this ensemble, not lots. We're going to hear three of them today. Now, to make this program even more unusual, you'll find out that it's made of three young musicians, all born in Germany, who have named their ensemble after a very famous French violinist whom we've never met. In fact, the violinist Jacques Thibault died about 20 years before most of these young fellows were born. And if that were not unusual enough, you're also going to discover what you cannot see, but I can. They have no music stands in front of them. They play their entire repertoire from memory. Folks, meet the Jacques Thibault Trio, beginning with our violinist, Burkhard Meiss. It's great to meet you, Burkhard.
Hi, I'm very happy to be here.
And our violist is Philippe Duvier. And if I tell my name, that sounds French.
Yeah, it is a French name, but I'm all German, and my family is German for the last 100 years. I don't know what happened. They came from very close to the French border.
Our cellist is Uwe Hirt Schmidt, if I get that correctly, or sort of close.
Yes, usually people have many problems to spell and pronounce my name, but I'm getting used to that. And yeah, we were really happy here to be in the show that we learned from many people. It's very famous.
Well, actually, I had learned recently from some of the chamber music programs I've been doing around the country, people kept saying, have you heard the Jacques Thibault Trio? And it's only after they talk about how beautifully you play that they say, oh, by the way, they play everything from memory, which makes, in fact, chamber ensembles very unusual. That's something that you do, and we'll get to the reasons why you've chosen to do that, but that's not the most extraordinary thing that you do. The most extraordinary thing you do is the sound that you play and the ensemble that you play. I want to get to hear that right away. We're going to one of the very early masterpieces for string trio. This is a work from the summer of 1788 of our old friend Mozart, who's out of work. And the reason is that the Viennese economy had gone to ruin. The emperor had gone to war, hadn't gone very well. He was warring with the Turks. He closed all of the opera houses. The economy was in depression. Mozart was out of work. So during that summer where he had nothing very much to do, he wrote the final three symphonies, the 39th, the 40th, and the Great Jupiter Symphony. Came September of that year, and he was really short of cash, so he went to his old friend, who was also a Freemason, a man called Michael Puchberg. Puchberg lent him some money, and Mozart wrote him a trio for stringed instruments. We're going to hear now the Andante, beautiful variation movement, from the Divertimento in E-flat major, Kirchhoff-Listing 563, music of Mozart played by the Jacques Thibault Trio.
Thank you.
with much care and trouble, I have been able to bring my finances under control to the extent that I only need a slight loan to get me through this next period. This is the words of Mozart. He's writing to his friend and patron, Michael Puchberg, just at the time that he wrote this piece of music that we heard. This was the Divertimento in E-flat major, Kerschel 563, played by the Jacques Thibaud String Trio. And this music gives no indication that Mozart was in any kind of bad spirits. It's sublimely beautiful music, isn't it?
Yeah.
And just some certain spots where you can hear him that he didn't feel too well at this time. So, for example, for our what we understand of this music, the last movement of this piece sounds completely happy if you just listen to it not too closely. But when you're really playing this piece, you can you can hear that he was suffering at this time, not only from of financial problems, but also I think health problems and things like this. So this is not only happy, but something more, like it is very often with Mozart. But
that's right. It's 1788, and he's, what, 32 years old, and he has only 3 more years to live. You know, as the three of you were playing it just now, it made me think that Beethoven, who's only 17 or 18 years old when this piece is written, is coming from this music, that in the next 10 years, it will lead to Beethoven. There's this spot where the cello is playing very sustained. I wonder, could you play a little bit of that B-flat minor section now? Just so we can remind ourselves what we were talking about. You heard that this is generally a very tranquil sort of piece and calm piece, but in the center, he really does build up a storm. Let's hear a little bit of it. Just pick some section that you like of that. So beautiful the way you play that. It's an interesting thing. That section makes me think of a couple of things at once. It makes me remember, of course, that Mozart's right at the height of his career as an opera composer, because I hear each of you as three characters, and it doesn't matter whether they're men or women. I hear the character of the cello, I hear the character of the viola, like the alto, and that. But it also has a quality to it, like music of Orlando's Lassus or Palestrina, the Renaissance composer. There's very great calm in the midst of passion. You play this very beautifully. The sound that the three of you make is really something. This is the Jacques Thibaud Trio. I want to find out how you three young fellows met. You were all studying in Berlin, I gather. How did you first start playing, and how did you pick the name of this great French violinist, Jacques Thibaud? Start with the beginning. Who met who, and who introduced who? And
so first we met 5 years, we founded our trio 5 years ago at the Berlin College of Art. And we know each other a longer time. So I met Philip already in high school, and we had a string quartet together, and I had a piano trio with Uwe, and finally we decided to make a new group as a string trio. And then we thought, of course, about a name, and it's always difficult to find a good name, and we were really touched by the old recordings of Jacques Thibaud. He made a lot of chamber music recordings, and you can hear he really had a lot of fun to play his instrument. It's not this academic style of playing an instrument, and he had a lot of good feeling about classical music. Maybe you can say it's a little bit old-fashioned, but we don't try to copy this style of playing, but we also want to have fun in playing and playing with open heart and things like
that. That's more important to try to play always this way, but only to care about intonation and if it's rhythmically everything correct what you play, or and this is what normally today you are told on lots of colleges and by lots of teachers, that this is the most important thing. Everything has to be in tune, and before it's not completely in tune, you shouldn't go on stage. It's not interesting. That's really not true, because an audience normally doesn't know too much about intonation, and they don't care about intonation. They want to be entertained. They want to see what Mozart's character is like, Beethoven's character, and what modern music sounds like, and they don't care about these little things. And So of course we have to rehearse and to try to play in tune. That's, I don't mean we don't work on this, but that's not the main part. And that's what we try to have learned from these people who played in the first half of this century.
Yeah, I'm wondering for the American folks, you may not know this name so well. The recordings exist, and they're extraordinary. Jacques Thibault was born in 1880. For a while, he had a famous trio, piano trio, with Pablo Casals as the cellist and the great pianist Alfred Cortot. They made a recording that I know of the Schubert trio that is so unbelievably beautiful. And this is way, way, way before hi-fi. I guess the recording is made in 1926, 28. But it's just what you say. You hear the soul of the music so much and the soul of these three great artists playing. So I think it's very inspiring that the three of you young players want to dedicate yourself to this, I won't say undisciplined, but I say open-hearted way of playing. And yeah, it comes through immediately in your playing. Jacques Thibault Trio, I think he would be very he would be very pleased if he could hear you. I imagine somehow or another he's listening in some world. Beautiful play. If you folks would like to find out more about the Jacques Thibault String Trio or about Jacques Thibault himself and the wonderful trio he had with Pablo Casals and Alfred Cortot, you could look at our website. You'll find us at stpaulsunday.org. That's stpaulsunday, all one word, .org. I should take a moment to remind any folks who have just tuned in the last couple of minutes that we're speaking with the Jacques Thibault Trio. I'm Bill McLaughlin, and we're tuned to St. Paul Sunday. We're going to move now from music which was composed in 1788, just 10 years later, to the music of Beethoven. And this is at a time when Beethoven had come to live in Vienna, say around 1792 or so, had actually brought a string trio with him that he'd made in Bonn before he came to Vienna. But then he made the trio's Opus 9, right around the same time as he was starting to think very hard about writing the string quartets. And there's a remarkable power to these works, especially the one that you're going to play. In both the Beethoven piano trios, which are Opus 1, and these string trios, Opus 9, he has a piece in C minor, which he kind of hides. He puts it sort of toward the end, so you don't see it first. Usually, C minor is an important key for Beethoven. Those of you at home who are pianists know that the Pathetique Sonata, for example, is in C minor. Pretty much everybody knows the most famous symphony of all, Fifth Symphony, that's in C minor. So is the Last Piano Sonata. There's a lot of, when Beethoven has tragic or profound thoughts, very often it's the key for which he tries to find them. I'd love to hear the way you play this now. We'll get to hear this entire piece. This is a work in four movements, the String Trio, Opus 9, Number 3, music from 1788. This will be the Jacques Thibault String Trio playing music of Beethoven. Thank you. Remarkable the way he lets the music go there at the end. This is such a big piece for only three players. This is music of Ludwig van Beethoven, the C minor trio, opus 9, number 3. We just heard it played brilliantly by the Jacques Thibault string trio. Burkhard Meiss is our violinist, Philippe Duvier, our violist, and Uwe Hirt-Schmidt, our cellist. Yeah, this piece, sometimes with the string trio literature, you think that sometimes the pieces can be a little bit more like divertimento, which is what Mozart called the piece that you played at the beginning, or serenade, something lighter. But with this piece, this is every bit as important as the quartets he was writing just at that time, the opus 18 quartets. The slow movement of this piece is profound. It has this kind of serenity and nobility, and also takes a lot of time. One of the things I noticed with the string trio is that nobody gets any time off.
No.
You're very busy all of the time.
Some of us has always to replace the missing violin. So most of the time, that's our violist. He has to play double stops all the time.
Yeah, and you're catching a line that the violin plays and then imitating on the viola and then going back and accompanying the cello. And yeah, I wanted to ask you a little bit. This is an obvious question, but I wanted to hear your answer to the reason that you've decided to play from memory, that you memorize all of the repertoire. Did you start out initially to do that? And what is the advantage to you?
We didn't decide it really. It kind of happened by accident. We wanted to rehearse a piece that no one had the music with before. So we just did it and realized not only that it works, because we had rehearsed it so often that it was just in our heads, but also that the level of making music just got higher from 1 minute to the other. Obviously it takes a big part of brain work to read music and transform it in something, some movement and whatever you do to make music from sheet music.
Mm.
So as soon as this is not there anymore, you have so much more attention left for what's really important, the music, and to pay attention to each other and to realize what the others do, so you can kind of fit into that and
mm-hmm.
all those things. And last but not least, the audience likes it a lot to see the whole instruments and what we are doing, how we interact and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a big advantage.
So you don't have a wall between you and the audience. So it's not like sometimes it's not very lively to hear chamber music and everybody is reading the music. And a very important reason is you always have to be very well prepared.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot allow you to be lazy, or for example you play for 100 times same piece, but you really have to practice. Otherwise, you cannot play from memory.
Yeah, actually, my own experience working as a conductor would find if I took the stand away, all of a sudden, there was nothing between me and the orchestra.
Yeah.
Sometimes this is a little frightening because they're a dangerous crew, but at the same time, I know just that physical barrier of the stand with the music on it, plus the fact is it works as a sort of magnet which catches your eye and pulls you down rather than performing directly for the people with whom you're making music. We're going to hear now a work from Tohnyani, which was written just at the beginning of the 20th century. Tohnyani was born in Hungary, spent his early years there until he went to be professor in Berlin. This is during his still early Hungarian period. He was born in 1877. This piece is from 1902, and he wrote a serenade in what? Is it five movements in total? We're going to get to hear the opening and the last movement now. This is the Serenade in C Major for String Trio, Opus 10. What sort of music will we experience? Because I don't know this piece, I'm embarrassed to say, but you can tell me. It's the first one's marked Marcia, so it is a march?
Yes, it is a march, and this serenade is very close to the Serenade Opus 8 written by Beethoven.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he knew this piece very well. Both pieces have a march at the beginning and at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite light music. It's a kind of fun and very well written, quite virtuoso style of playing. And
well, let's get to hear this music now. Music of Erno Tohnyani, the Serenade in C Major for String Trio from the year 1902. This is his Opus 10. We're going to hear the first movement marked Marcia and the finale, which is a rondo. This is the Jacques Thibault String Trio.
Thank you.
Really wonderful music, and I have to say that if I had just tuned in, say, in the last 2 or 3 minutes by accident, I would have no idea who is this composer that you were playing. So here, in case that means you, if somebody's just tuned in, here are a couple of hints. This is a composer born in 1877 in Hungary, studied at the Budapest Academy. He was actually, at the turn of the century, was considered the most important Hungarian musician after Franz Liszt. This was a man as a conductor, a composer, a pianist. He had played some performances with the great conductor of the Vienna Philharmonic, Hans Richter, in London, which made him the idol of the 1890s in London when the kid was just barely 20. He went back to Hungary after some time in Berlin around the time of the First World War. And I would say with his friends, Bartok and Kodály, who are actually much better known nowadays, or at least more performed in this country, founded a Hungarian school. Was beyond what Franz Liszt had done in the 19th century. Toward the end of his life, just curious coincidence, he spent the last 11 years of his life in the United States. He became a professor of music at Florida State University in Tallahassee. The composer is Erno Tohjányi, and we just heard from his Serenade in C Major for String Trio, Opus 10, the first and last movements of the Marcia and the Rondo. This was work from almost a century ago, 1902, and played wonderfully by the Jacques Thibault String Trio. It's very plain that you enjoy this music very much. There's so much to dig into, isn't there?
Fun to play.
I was watching just there as Burkhardt takes that great tune on the G string at the end. And just, man, what romantic stuff to play. It's wonderful, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. This is an example that you were of the kind of music you were talking about. There are wonderful pieces, as yet rather little known to the general public.
So that's why we are doing it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy, this has been such a great program. We began the program by playing a movement from the Mozart Divertimento K563, and then we had a big, wonderful piece, the Beethoven C minor trio, Opus 9, number 3, and now a couple of movements, just a sort of a little teaser from Dohnányi, string serenade for the string trio. If this is an example of what you three could do, you should come to this program a lot more and play the entire repertoire, all by memory. Yeah, I've been hearing about you for about, I would say, a year and a half now. Some friends in chamber music whom I trust very much said, you've got to get these young fellows to come to the program. They're absolutely exceptional. And my friends were right, you are. It's wonderful to hear the three of you.
Thank you.
So here's greetings and a big thank you to my new friends. Now, Burkhardt Meiss is our violinist, Philip Duvier, our violist, Uwe Hirt Schmidt is our cellist. They make up the Jacques Thibault String Trio of Berlin and the world. So it's great to have you here. You can have a look at them on our website and all of the other artists. Again, our website is stpaulsunday.org, and you can drop us a line by email, in fact, to let us know how you like the program. Our email address is sunday@mpr.org. That's Sunday as M in Minnesota, PR.org. Well, thanks again to the Jacques Thibault Trio. It was a wonderful program. I hope you folks will stay tuned in for all the other great stuff coming up on this public radio station, and make certain to join us next week when we return with St. Paul Sunday.
Sunday is made possible by a major grant from the Minnesota-based General Mills Foundation, supporting excellence in education, human services, and the arts. Additional funding has been provided by the National Endowment for the Arts and by this Public Radio International station. St. Paul Sunday is produced by Minnesota Public Radio. Your host for the series is Bill McLaughlin. The senior producer is Mary Lee. And the music producer is Vaughn Ormseth. The engineer is Tom Mudge. The St. Paul Sunday website is produced by Nancy Blakestead. This is Marianne Sullivan.
You've been listening to the music of Peter Maxwell Davies as performed by David Owen Norris, one of the selections on St. Paul Sunday's newest compact disc, Mixed Company. Visit our website at stpaulsunday.org to order your copy of Mixed Company, music from St. Paul Sunday. This recording includes performances of Gil Shaham, the Emerson String Quartet, and many more, all recorded for this program and many not available elsewhere. And don't forget, your purchase of this recording helps support your station and St. Paul Sunday. Order your copy of Mixed Company from the St. Paul Sunday website, stpaulsunday.org.
PRI, Public Radio International.